What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for June 21st, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller. It's a Thursday, by the way, alongside the Reverend Jared Petty.
Doki Doki and glad to be back. The Electronic Entertainment Expo is finished. We haven't seen each other since then.
You have survived. Touch me. You survived.
Yeah. What about you? Did you die?
No, I'm back. I'm here.
Oh, okay. You're alive, too.
You're wearing your Killer Queen shirt. I'm very jealous.
So I bought this last year at California Extreme, the awesome arcade expo we have here. Yep. It did not fit me. I bought it in the hope that one day I would lose enough weight to wear it.
And here you are.
It's in Vogue. It's in Vogue right now.
Did you get to play Killer Queen Black at
No, I didn't get to play
E3?
Black at E3.
We did. We made a party mode. It will be up one day. I've seen Andy working on it, so I know it's along in the pipeline somewhere.
I think it's really exciting because I think a lot of people out there, because it's so limited access to the original Killer Queen, have never played the game. Seeing y'all play it on party mode will help convey why it's so great.
Game's going to be big. When it comes to Switch, it's going to be really, really big because it's so much fun to play. You know it. It's simple. Yeah. It's a simple idea, difficult to master.
Yeah,
like, to start making strategy. Kevin, 3 or 4 games? I mean, like, every time you learned a little bit more, and by the end it was like, well, all right, next time I'll do this and you do that and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's a 5-on-5 MOBA that plays out in 3 minutes. And it has the three different win conditions that make it awesome. The fact that you can win the game 3 ways and you've got to constantly be watching the other team for that while trying to do it. It's great.
Don't worry about the MOBA shit. It's not that. It's fun.
I love winning.
It's 4v4-2. We're not going to say it. On Switch.
Nothing like victory by snail.
Yeah,
Victor by Snail is rewarding.
You got some balls.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we come to you with the nerdy news you need to know about in the world of video games. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, squad ups, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live. We record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, we have a special job for you. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Please subscribe. And listening on podcast services around the globe, please subscribe wherever you get them. And if you really think we're doing a good job, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a buck or two. Get party mode early. Have some fun. Please subscribe.
Those bucks are helpful.
You have one.
I have one of those bucks. Yeah, I do.
Patreon.com/hopblipjump.
Yeah, yep. Actually, Jared Petty. Or you just go to hopblipandajump.com, hopblipjump.com. They all take you to my Patreon.
You'll find it.
It's easy to find me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's actually Jared Petty's the Patreon.
I still get it, obviously, but we've been around too long for it to be like a new feeling for me. Do you ever get that feeling, though, when you see Hop, Blip, and a Jump somewhere and you're like, that's a real thing I created somewhere?
Yes.
Like I was doing the news today and I saw you in the GameSpot blog roll of Jared Petty from Hop, Blip, and Jump is on the co-op stage. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then we were down there, I'm like, it's weird.
It's surreal and weird and terrifying and wonderful. And it's only possible because the people out there watching and listening allow it to happen. Thank you.
That's right. Thank you very much for our lives. Housekeeping for you. Kinda Funny Prom is 9 days away. Come to San Francisco. Party with us June 30th. You can get your tickets at kindoffunny.com/tickets. I'll be there. Jared will be there. Kevin will be there.
Absolutely.
Everyone in this room will be there.
Got that cosplay ready, my friend.
Right. Of course, it's 80s versus 90s. Wear a tux, wear a dress, wear cosplay. Do whatever you want. Just come party. Have some fun. It'll be great.
Come in a t-shirt.
Yeah, I mean, don't come in a t-shirt. You actually put some effort into it.
A tuxedo t-shirt.
You're doing a costume.
So yeah, I'm doing a costume. Definitely. Angie and I both have some pretty fun stuff.
Very excited to share it all and see all these photos we're going to take. And then final piece of housekeeping. We're brought to you by Brooklinen and MeUndies, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be a jam-packed Roper Report. Time for some news. Wow, Kevin, it's Thursday and you are over this fucking week, huh?
He mailed that one.
Look how tired he is. No, me and him were both here yesterday super early for stuff.
Yeah.
Then I know he goes home, he always wants to sleep, but he doesn't. He does things.
Now, like, you were here super early for stuff yesterday, but then you're like, oh, by the way, we could rest or we could stream Fortnite.
Yeah.
I mean, that was kind of...
It's how we roll. Kind of funny, only knows Kids one speed. It. Break Kids your dick off it. Speed. Number one on the Roper Report.
Wait, how many total on the Roper Report?
5. Sorry, we were talking so much. Having such a good time.
A beggar's dozen.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Wow.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, that is.
This show's kind of autopilot-y now from here on out for you, right? Like, you can kick up. You don't even do the yeah. Just lay down. Move the chair.
I do the yeah. What do you mean I don't do the yeah? I do the yeah.
I'm saying you don't have to do the yeah today.
I'm going to do it.
The kind of funny best friends deserve better. They deserve more than that. They deserve a better baker's dozen they just got.
Now, here's what I'll let you know. Normally, maybe I would say that, and I'd ride Kevin. It's the week after E3. Energy levels all over the place. I'm feeling great today. Yesterday, I felt a little low injury. What I want you to know is that I feel in a lot of ways, Kevin, And I'm not saying we had a bad show yesterday. Kevin saved what could have been a boring show yesterday. I've seen the subreddit comments. I've seen the comments on kindoffunny.com/KFGD saying Kevin was awesome. Kevin made the one guy said, this is the best show of year two so far. Yeah. Now, granted, that would have only been, you know, the show two. Sure.
Okay. Now, yeah. I appreciate Kevin as much as anyone, but we can't rest on our laurels. We got to do more. We got to keep moving forward. Kevin, can you give that Baker's Dozen one more try?
Five items on the Roper Report.
No, I can't.
Damn! Number one! Xbox and Switch have finally gotten their Minecraft crossplay on with that Bedrock update. But more importantly, the shade is real as these two throw it in fucking PlayStation's face left and right. The Minecraft Twitter says, the new version of Minecraft is out on Switch, features crossplay with Xbox One, Windows 10, VR, and mobile devices, plus the Super Mario Mashup Pack. Already own Minecraft on Switch? You can update to the new version for free. Woohoo! Now, this came with a trailer. A trailer that at the end says, create together, explore together, survive together. And individual screens. So create together, explore together, survive. In.
Yep.
One side Xbox green, one side Switch red.
Yep, that wonderful color
so
theme.
So create together, yep. Explore together, survive together. The, yep. Each one of those words having the green and the red behind it.
Yeah. Well, they didn't want to have that French flag where they got that blue down there.
Oh, too. No, of course not. Of course not. Then, so this, like, that alone, you'd be like, oof, that is some, they're throwing some shade at PlayStation,
that's
right?
Shade there.
Then, of course, the meme police came out, or the meme creators, I should say, putting out the PlayStation one, just create alone. It's just a blue. It's the PlayStation blue that says create alone. And then Minecraft, Xbox, and Nintendo's Twitter's all getting in on it of like, yeah. Hey, we can do this. You want to play together? What should we make? But when they're going back and forth talking about the crossover and all these different
the
things.
The real question is, has Wendy's Twitter, like, chimed in on the show?
I don't know, man. They dunked so hard on IHOP last week. I don't know if they have it in them.
They
to come do. Out.
My favorite, the Wendy, their dunk on Chick-fil-A was amazing.
I don't remember that one.
Which oh
one
my
that?
Gosh, it's so good.
Which one do you remember?
Yeah, it's just the one where Chick-fil-A tweets are like, is there anything better than a spicy chicken Chick-fil-A sandwich on a Friday afternoon? And Wendy's like, yeah, one of ours on a Sunday.
That's great.
And
that was good.
Oh, that was. And I don't usually go for the dunks. I'm not big on the dunks, but Wendy's does do the dunks. Yeah,
this
well.
Is just, I think, such a zeitgeist thing, let alone the fact that this has been a year in the making, which I would have totally forgotten if not for our anniversary of Kind of Funny Games Daily this week, where we went back. Thank you, Jer. We went back and looked at the stories from the first episode. The first episode was PlayStation. Not doing crossplay with Minecraft and having quotes from Xbox or Phil Spencer and all these different things. Yeah. So to get here, finally have it to Minecraft hot on the heels of the entire Fortnite debacle here of
yep.
No crossplay, no Epic account support, no cross progression, your account's locked, all this shit. It's just PlayStation's taking it on the chin right now, deservedly so, I think, in some respects.
You know what I'm worried about is them alienating younger audiences with this. I mean, they already have enough trouble with younger audiences. All console developers, to some degree, have some, you know, they'd like to capture larger segments of young audiences than they do.
Yeah.
But the Fortnite success and Minecraft success are both largely born of the fact that you can play them on anything.
Sure.
That they will run on a toaster. And mm-hmm. And you can play them on your phone. You can play them. And the more crossplay that's available, Fortnite's success is a matter of timing, great design, a wonderful game. The fact that it's free and the fact that you can play it with your friends on just about anything. PlayStation getting left out of that.
Yeah.
They are not owning something. They are getting left out. I love PlayStation. I think they do a lot of smart things. I don't get this one.
No,
I
yeah,
do not understand.
And we don't need
one.
To beat a dead horse. I know I've talked about it a lot and said it over and over again how disappointed I am. And I put up the tweet that then got the Smedley response that then became news stories everywhere. I don't get what they're going for here in the way that all you've done is now make me spend money on Switch when it could have been money I was spending with you. All you're doing is making me, when I do want to play it on a console, play it on an Xbox, back and forth to that.
Well, so much of this stuff, I'm not inside their internal culture right now, but somebody probably made a policy call and now it's a policy and now they're looking at repercussions and people are doing studies internally, I'll bet. But somebody eventually has to come along and say, oh, really? No, this was a good idea the whole time. And that'll eventually happen internally and this will get fixed, I hope, because it's an egg on your face situation where you look at it. The last thing you want to do on the planet Earth when you're about to launch new hardware and your competitors are about to launch new hardware is to look like you're behind. And right now they look behind.
On this one thing. They look behind the times.
But
for
this
sure.
is a big
I hear
thing.
You. I hear you. I think, you know, Ryan McCaffrey, friend of the show over at IGN.com, put up an editorial this week that was Xbox is playing, and I'm going to paraphrase the title, but Xbox is E3 shows that they're playing the long game, or they're playing for the future and they're playing to win.
Yep.
And it's what I've talked about forever, right? In terms of laying this foundation. I'm not going to be a dead horse with this one either, but Game Pass, backwards compatibility, we're about the gamers, here's five studios, cross play, to the point that, yeah, what you're saying is going to happen when you get to that next big step, and Xbox does have a bunch of exclusives lined up and they are ready to go, what do you do and how do you look? And if they're saying all the right things and they have this proven track record that they haven't drifted away from their message of being for the players, where does that go?
In the entire history of console launches, I can think of only one major circumstance where hubris between generations didn't cost a leader a good portion of their leading position. The one exception I can think of is PlayStation 1 to PlayStation 2. Every other jump in the history of the medium, going all the way back to the NES, has been a leader giving up market space because of hubris.
Yeah.
And PlayStation is so far ahead right now, and they're making the mistake of acting like they're so far ahead.
Sure.
That really scares me because I love the platform, and I don't want to see them screw this up.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if it all becomes a moot point. Again, I do think that they have to do something here with the Fortnite problem, and we'll see how it gets. But let's stick with Xbox and Switch. Luke Harwolf writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "What's good, Greg and Jared? Today, the Bedrock version of Minecraft released on Switch, which means Nintendo players can now play Minecraft together with Xbox users while earning Xbox achievements on their Xbox Live account. It's a really weird but very cool thing, and it's got me wondering, what other Nintendo cross Xbox collaborations do you think we could see in the future? To be clear, I'm not quite talking about something like Banjo and Kazooie in Smash Brothers. I'm wondering if we might see, for example, more Microsoft-owned games coming to Nintendo platforms with cross-play slash cross-progression. A wild idea I had was maybe Microsoft will release a streaming app for Switch that allows you to play, say, Gears 5 on Nintendo Switch. Is that outlandish? What do you think might happen in the future? I'm very interested in hearing your thoughts and speculation. Thanks for all that you do. Luke Harwolf."
I think what you do is you look at the properties that you think could work on a handheld and you start there.
Yeah.
Things that are good for the touch interface and you start there. I keep talking about Age of Empires. I really do think we're going to see something age again oriented. I could totally see an age game being on Windows and Switch, for example.
Sure.
I think that makes a lot of sense if it's designed right. Again, I pulled out from my Crimson Skies, that kind of cockpit view works really well in a close handheld. I think that could be, or a third person flyer that could work there. I think something like Gears or Halo is less likely, at least in a mainline game, although it's a radical move and that kind of streaming would be cool.
I think you're jumping too far ahead, Luke Harwolf, in terms of what this means. What I found interesting, and this is, I know nothing, I know Austin, obviously, but Austin Walker from Waypoint quote tweeted the trailer today, the Microsoft Nintendo Minecraft trailer. It was like, this with the lens of what I heard might be happening, it was like, you know, there's really interesting stuff coming, maybe still coming from like cross. I think you're in such an early part of it where I think, a Smash Brothers Microsoft character is more likely than anything right now. Right now in the immediacy, bringing over Banjo Kazooie and putting him there. And then here's what I would say. Streaming app, way far away, but you bring Banjo and Kazooie over to Smash Brothers, and then you say, all right, you know what? During the Direct, your Phil Spencer comes out during this Direct, right? The Nintendo Direct, and say, hey, this is what's happening. We're super excited to work with them. You know, this might seem like a crazy thing, but we've had Rare has had a long lineage with Nintendo. A lot of the most beloved Nintendo games from Rare. In fact, we're going to put out the Rare Collection on the Switch.
Oh, like Rare Replay?
Yeah.
What a great package.
I think that would be, to play Perfect Dark on that, you know what I mean? Have those games.
Viva Pinata, man. Pinata on Switch.
And have so many of those classic Rare games there on the Switch.
I want a Pinata. It's not gonna happen, I think, because you'd have to get the Pokemon company involved.
Even that's
involved.
Too far-fetched.
But I love the idea of one Pinata in the Pokemon game. Like, sticking just one Viva Pinata as an extra Easter egg that you can find and use. Give it Pokemon stats.
It's fascinating to see how it's going to go, because this is, when I was covering PlayStation for IGN, this was always the joke with the PS3 generation, where it was that people used to always talk about, oh man, the PS3 Wii, where that was the combo you would get instead of the Xbox 360, right? Uh-huh. You could have this and you'd have so much. And like, what if Nintendo worked more with that? What if PlayStation leaned into that relationship and tried to package it that way? Mm-hmm. Here you see companies doing that to an extent of like, we are working together and we are doing cool things. And Microsoft and, you know, Phil Spencer's message right now of, game anywhere, what's good for gamers. You know, we had Major Nelson Larry on E3 talking about this. And like, the question is, what is good for gamers? And I know that everybody says that and it becomes just such marketing fluff. But when you see what Xbox has done recently, I do think that they look at these problems that way. And they do also understand that this is such an awesome headline. This is such an awesome video. This is way better than a shitty statement to the BBC from PlayStation not understanding why people are mad about Fortnite.
Marketers love a term, if you're not familiar with it, earned media. Mm-hmm. Earned media is when you create a marketing campaign that gets picked up by folks like us, folks over at IGN or GameSpot, CNN, newspapers, whatever, where it moves out, you know, the, you make a story and you don't throw marketing dollars behind it, really, and it just takes on life of its own.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that gets you good, positive, earned media, and they're going to do it. I do wonder one more thing.
Sure.
I don't want to stress this out too much, but we've talked about Microsoft stuff coming to Switch pretty much exclusively here.
Yeah.
What about Nintendo things appearing on Xbox? Is there anything, you know, what does Nintendo give in this situation?
I mean, I imagine the Mario skins and stuff, right? Like, that's what, you know, the Minecraft Twitter is talking about, the Mario mashup pack. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's only on Switch or if that's everywhere, right? I get confused with that. I think it's everywhere. Aren't all skins everywhere? Because you can have the...
I don't know.
I think you can have... Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I think you can have, like, the Master Chief stuff on PS...
I mostly play Minecraft on PC, so unfortunately I don't have an answer.
Whoa, geez, Kevin!
Whoa, there we go. Came in that was here. Exciting. But yeah, what would you like to see like come from Nintendo's little playground?
See,
to
this
show
is
up
the
on,
thing
on,
is that yeah. I don't know if. I mean, there's a ton of things I'd love to see.
Yeah,
I don't think you will. I don't think this relationship works that way.
Mm-hmm. No,
I think that Xbox is trying to make moves to make up ground on PlayStation without, no offense to everybody, games, right? They're trying to make these moves that are consumer facing, consumer great, what is good for gamer moves, right?
Yeah.
And I think they are forced into that position because PlayStation's run out to this lead, because PlayStation has this well-oiled machine of exclusives, and Xbox, granted, has the five studios, has Gears, has Halo, is working on that, mm-hmm. but is not there now.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Switch is a runaway success that is totally fine without Xbox getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is Xbox coming to Nintendo and being like, hey, we have these cross-platform games. We're not going to get in the way of that. Do you want to work with us? Let's do it. Let's make... I think Xbox is more willing to make deals, play ball, and do all these things because they're trying to make up ground and still... I think Xbox and PlayStation... That's why the Switch stuff surprised me about Fortnite. Mm-hmm. I think Xbox and PlayStation, while not seeing human beings, everybody's friends with each other, see each other as competition and see that they have to beat each other.
Yeah.
Whereas Nintendo's always been off doing their own thing, and so we don't worry about what they're up to, even when they're doing really well.
That blue ocean strategy.
Exactly.
There's some weird stuff out there.
And so... the fact that PlayStation suddenly got a chip on their shoulder about this Fortnite stuff involving Switch was the weird one for me. Of like, wait, I understand the Xbox stuff because both of you want to be my 4K TV box.
Yeah.
Switch doesn't want to be that.
Nope.
And so I don't think they have to worry about it in the same way, whereas Xbox is making deals with Switch, with people all over the place, because they're trying to see that, like, all right, cool, we are the definitive box, even if you don't think so right now. And next generation, we are sure as shit going to be the definitive box, mm-hmm. with all these services and all these games and all these things.
Yeah, I do like the idea of coming around a corner in, I think, the probably inevitable Fable 4 someday, mm-hmm. and finding the Master Sword stuck in a clearing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are things like that you could do. The question is, does Nintendo need it?
But even that, right? You're talking every generation, the battlefield shifts and you get strange bedfellows.
Yeah.
And I think when you get to Xbox 2 or whatever the next generation is, this relationship, not for a Minecraft, not for that, but for that kind of collaboration, I think is going to truncate again.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, all right, cool, we're resetting everything, and we have hopefully a whole bunch of great stuff coming out. We don't need to go that crazy.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
Xbox, even with the Rare Replay stuff, right, is like, well, cool, we've made the money we're going to make on Rare on Xbox. Let's get it there and also look cool. Let's look cool to the Nintendo people so that when they are saying, man, I should get a 4K game system. Oh, I'll get the Xbox One X, and I'll be able to carry my Fortnite stuff over, and I'll be able to carry my Minecraft stuff over, and I'll be, you know.
I love what you said about resetting. It reminds me of Chris Kohler just, I think, yesterday was talking about this, about how every company is probably very reluctant to hit that reset button because you effectively start at zero.
You and never know what's going to happen.
The hardware iterations, how that's going to affect backwards compatibility. He had a lot of really interesting ideas on a Twitter thread about this. The required reading we're going to talk about later, an article by Kat Bailey, is about like what happens to Switch when next-gen console hardware comes out.
Right now it's in a great spot where a lot of stuff can be ported over and do all this stuff, but what about when it leaps ahead?
And fortunately, Kat being Kat, she actually went out and found someone that's a real expert on this and got informed feedback on that, which is what makes it. We'll get to that, but that's like, probably ought to move on to another article.
Jared, you never have to probably do anything. We're having a good time. This is kind of funny. Games Daily. Subscribe, like, share. Number two. The Steam summer sale has officially begun. This is from Brittany Vincent at Twinfinite.
I'm in the pocket of Big Twinfinite.
I can't believe you continue to do this to me.
I love doing
it. Was Brittany the one you had on your
show? No, it was Yami, their founder, who is, we need to have her on here. Somebody, she's great. Okay. Yamandanya, she's just fantastic and charismatic and wonderful. But yeah, she came on Red Dead Radio last week.
Steam summer sale begins now. Brittany writes, the 2018 Steam summer sale is underway right now with plenty of sales to dig into and spend all that hard-earned cash on. This time, the sale has an intergalactic theme. Intergalactic planetary. As you can see below, with the planets, aliens, and title of the sale embossed across the top store page.
You can't actually see that because we don't have it.
Good edit here.
Yeah,
good job putting
really
this article
well
in here.
Edited on my part.
You sloppy twinfinite.
I was very sloppy there. I even edited this. I actually cut parts out. I still left that in there.
Among some of the games on sale include Stardock's selection of titles, Head Up's portfolio of games, and a whole lot more just waiting for you to sink your teeth into. So yeah, head over there, see what's happening. Everybody loves a good Steam sale.
Yep, that runs through July the 5th.
Yep.
And the Steam Summer Sale, always a big deal. Whether or not you are big on the PC games, there's a lot of games on Steam that'll run on low-end PCs that are totally worth picking up.
So does Minesweeper, though, so you're covered. Number three!
I used to own a copy of Minesweeper on a CD-ROM.
You're a dork.
Oh, yeah, totally. For the PC Engine, it was a console version of Minesweeper for the TurboGrafx-16 that came on a CD-ROM disc. It was really amazing.
What were the special features like? Was there multiplayer?
There really weren't special. It was just Minesweeper on a
That must have been very disappointing
disc.
To come home with.
It was amazing.
Number three, Epic Games is looking at Fortnite's endgame. Changes may be incoming. This is from Chris Pereira over at GameSpot. In a post on Fortnite's website, Epic explained that it plans to, quote, continue to make changes to evolve the game to give players multiple ways to counter each other in combat and create more strategies to win the game, end quote. It also specifically addresses the notion that building is the only way to win. Quote, it's important to support a variety of late game strategies that don't boil down to just build, lol. We strongly believe that the evolution of Fortnite supports a wide range of play styles and counterplay. Currently, the superiority of shotguns, rockets, and uncapped building are such a dominant play style in the final circle that most other strategies are being drowned out, end quote. Epic said it's already made some changes to address these concerns and will continue to do so. Weapon balance is being looked at, as is the resource economy, which it said, includes something like a cap on the number of resources you can hold. The quote, next few weeks, we'll see Epic continuing to look at changes it can make, and it says it wants to hear from players about what they want to see. Quote, you should be able to find victory royales through multiple strategies, it said. Shotguns should be strong, but other weapons have room to grow. Not every encounter should have to end with a build-off. We want to empower you to showcase your skill, strategy, and tactics in all variety of ways.
I have no problem with this for two reasons.
Sure.
First, it is the nature of things for some strategies, some weapons, some whatever, whether in the real world or in games, to be better than others at any particular moment. Guns trump knives 99% of the time.
Sure.
You know, it's just better to have the gun if you're in a killing place.
Sure.
It's the better way to go. Right now, rocket launchers and shotguns are dominant in the late game in Fortnite. Fine. They're obviously aware of it. They're going to adjust that because they want to keep the game interesting. And then something else will become dominant once people shift and figure that out. That's part of the second part that feeds into this, which is that video games are inherently exploitable.
Sure.
Anything based on contemporary levels of artificial intelligence can be exploited. It goes all the way back to arcade games where people would figure out ways to work through glitches in the code or work through...
Find patterns.
Or we've been doing this as long as we've been playing games. Every boss battle you've ever been in is just a matter of figuring out the weaknesses and exploiting them throughout all of the history of games till whatever came out last year. This is just that playing itself out again. Because it's a live service game, they're going to change it. That'll change about it, but now it'll be a new thing. Repeat, rinse, repeat, keeps adapting. Epic's on top of it, not worried. Your thoughts?
No, I like to hear it. You know, of course, we're all currently, everyone kind of funny except Tim and Nick because they suck. Cool Red doesn't suck, though. Cool Greg's not obsessed with it either. But like the majority of us are obsessed with Switch Minecraft, and we're playing every lunch break.
So you mean Switch Fortnite?
I apologize. Yes. God, I went the other way when I was trying to tell Tim a different story back there.
The two games are ridiculously similar.
So it's me, Andy, Kevin, and Joey at lunch playing over there playing Fortnite on Switch and having a great time. And it's my deepest foray into the game. Like I've played it in for party modes and in passing on PlayStation, but it just didn't click. But for some reason on Switch, being able to do it anywhere, having everybody in the same room screaming at each other, it's totally working. And so what I find with it is that, yes, I am able to, even on solos, right, be in the top, for sure, I would say most, well, you know how it is, whatever. A lot of times I'm getting down to, oh, you guys, we died at the fourth place. Our squad was second place, blah, blah, blah. And it's coming down to the fact that we're all handling the weapons well and understanding that mechanic, but building is still so, we're all getting better with it, but no one's doing the crazy builds up on getting to where you're in a higher place. And like, we're just not there yet. So that's why we keep losing. So I think we're going to get better at it. I think we're going to be able to figure out. I don't think we'll ever be the best in the world at it. So something like this is interesting. I am interested as someone who's never going to commit months and months and months and months to Fortnite and stream it every day and really figure out how to be better at building. It'll be interesting to see what they do here. Because even if it was similar to when they put up, you know, 50v50 or the Thanos mode or snipers only or whatever, if they just put up one that was like no building, that'd be interesting, right? Like, I mean, okay, cool. And I mean, they have so many optional and seasonal things they move in and out. I'd be down to see what that looks like.
I can't imagine what pitch meetings at Epic are like right now. Like, they just
We have an unlimited pool of money. What do you guys want to do?
Yeah, I mean, just and sitting in a room going, what's going to be fun? What's going to, you know, there's this phrase.
Oh, my God, they've got to have such a good time over there right now, just kicking around ideas.
I mean, they're working really hard, but
of course,
they're also just like, wait, what's going to keep the game fun? What's going to keep it fluid? And that's yay games.
I'm excited to see the future of that game. I'm excited to keep playing it. Might be playing with Cisco soon. No big deal, everybody.
Ah.
Number four, NPD is rolling in for last month. This is via Seth Macy at IGN.com.
Sup, Seth?
State of Decay 2 took the top software spot in sales, beating out PlayStation exclusives God of War and Detroit Become Human. The PlayStation was the best-selling hardware platform, while the Nintendo Switch, with neon red and blue Joy-Cons, was the best-selling SKU. While PlayStation 4 came out on top, May was an enormously successful month for all three consoles, with PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch hitting, quote, all-time unit sales highs for a month of May. May 2018 had the highest May hardware sales numbers since 2011. The top 10 games for May 28 are as follows. Number 1, State of Decay 2. Number 2, God of War 2018. Number 3, Detroit Become Human. Number 4, Far Cry 5. Number 5, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. Number 6, Grand Theft Auto 5. Number 7, Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition. Number 8, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. Number 9, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. And number 10, NBA 2K18.
Got a couple of those perennials in there. I mean, yeah, not a ton of surprises here. It's that time in the console generation where prices have gotten low enough on the hardware and the libraries are big enough.
Yeah.
There's so much to play that it's really hard to wait. If people who are waiting aren't going to wait any longer.
I mean, huge shot. You say no surprises. I woke up this morning and saw Matt Piscatella tweeting about, like, imagine walking to the office right now and you're Undead Labs social media manager. And I was like, what? Because I love Undead Labs. I'm like, what happened? Yeah. I was expecting bad news. Not,
oh, really?
Hey, State of Decay was the best-selling game last month. I was like, oh my God, great.
Oh, no, I'm not surprised by that.
I just didn't think about it, I guess.
It seemed to be really well-positioned.
Sure.
I thought it was, you know, people
But are, there was concern, right? Game Pass, what is that going to do to it?
Yeah.
Like, is it going to make it where people don't want to pick it up?
Well, looks like not. So there we go.
Game Pass is a winning strategy,
no,
sure.
People are looking for a reason to use that console, and they found one.
Yeah.
You know?
Glad to see God of War doing well. Glad to see Detroit charting at number 3. I'm sure they wanted that higher, but hey.
Love seeing GTA 5 at number 6.
Never going to stop. Yeah, never going to stop.
It's
when Red Dead gets out, maybe, but probably never going to stop.
Probably never stopping. Now, I don't know this. I strongly suspect that they'll make GTA dollars and Red Dead dollars for online the same thing. I'll bet you they use a common currency between both games to keep people playing both.
Interesting.
I would be shocked if they don't.
What do they call it? Are they Rockstar Bucks now?
I think they're called GTA dollars right
credits?
Now.
Kindoffunny.com/you're
wrong. Yeah, but they're GTA Bucks or GTA dollars. And yeah, you get your shark card, and I'll bet you no inside information on this at all, but my guess is that's what they'll do because they want to keep people playing both games.
Yeah.
Why not?
Red Dead's coming up, buddy.
Yeah, it's coming up real fast.
If only there was a weekly podcast about Red Dead.
A weekly podcast?
Oh, Red Dead Radio, the one you put
up. Red Dead Radio D, a new episode going up tomorrow. Sean Bolin, a Game Attack.
Game Attack. Some say the true champ, but again, it's all fake wrestling, so don't worry about it. Number 5, Atari VCS weirdness is happening. This is from The Register, where Kieran McCarthy, Yeah, I got that right. Yep. Reports. Legendary games company Atari has accused a registered reporter of making stuff up and acting unprofessionally following an interview earlier this year in San Francisco at the launch of its new games console, the Atari VCS. In that article, we were critical of the fact that the machine did not work and that its chief operating officer, Michael Arzt, whom we spoke to, appeared unable to answer even the most basic questions about the product. We were shown, quote, engineering design models, end quote, that were said to be real, yet turned out did not work, and pointed out as much. Subsequently, a potential buyer of an Atari VCS posted a link to the article on the company's Facebook page and asked the business to explain it. Atari responded, "We honestly can't explain that article either. Our executive sat with that reporter for half an hour, and he wrote what he wanted instead of what was discussed with him. Sadly, there are even irresponsible trolls in professional positions, I guess. We clearly said that we were bringing engineering design models to GDC, and lots of people clearly don't understand what that means. Hunks of plastic? Well, yeah, that's how you finalize the designs and confirm that you can get the look and feel you want for the finished products. Sad." Then back to the register. "While we at the register often take a lighthearted and critical perspective on the news of the day, we take our professional obligations as reporters very seriously. In that capacity, we would like to formally apologize to both Atari and Michael Arzt for digging out a recording of the interview and for the following article in which we highlight that Atari is so full of crap that it should be designated a hazardous waste zone." Okay. They then post the interview and then tear apart it, re-go through the interview and like, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot here. I read the original article.
Yeah.
I went to the...
Which was basically like they had questions. They sit down with this Michael man.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, what about this? What about that? I don't know. We don't know. We're still working on it. Blah, blah, blah. They seem like, and I'm not saying Greg Miller called it, this isn't a well thought out thing, this VCS.
So what they sat down with here is there's this idea that somebody got a long time ago that there's absolutely no prejudice, bias, or preconception in following up news stories. That's mm-hmm. untrue. We absolutely go in informed, and we have context that draws us toward, hey, we walk in the room, we may have a preconception. Very often that preconception has changed through the interview, but there's some there.
Sure.
They obviously had some real questions about this crowdfunded project and the actual reality of whether or not there was hardware available to be seen.
Yeah.
They were told they were going to get engineering design mockups, and that's what they got. They chose to focus their article on the fact that what we got were engineering design mockups. Where's the hardware? There's no answers. This thing doesn't seem to us, based on what we saw, to exist yet. That's what they focused on. That's not the message Atari wanted to get across.
Mm-hmm.
And Atari didn't, near as I can tell, use that time well to convey the particulars that at that point, with a December launch planned, were probably appropriate to deliver in that kind of meeting.
Yeah.
Where I have a problem is not that Atari wasn't forthcoming with that stuff. It's that they chose to say, well, we don't know where that story came from. They obviously da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And to paint a perspective picture of that discussion that I don't think
accurately. But this meeting didn't even really happen in the way they're describing
it. That does not accurate. They received, it was an aggressive interview. It was obviously kind of frustrating from Atari's marketing perspective, but it also highlighted the fact that they are, as I think I've kind of called out before, most likely putting this thing together as they go along.
Yeah.
It is not uncommon for companies in the video game industry to pitch ideas and talk about what something is going to be able to do, especially internally or behind closed doors, long before they know whether it's actually possible, whether they're ever going to get the money, whether sure. they're ever going to get the... By the time you hear about it face-to-face, most of that's usually been worked through. With a campaign where they came forward, showed a mock-up, and said, hey, we want to fund this, it's become clear this thing's probably just a Linux computer in a well-modeled case, probably a PC of some kind in a case. And they figured confidently they could produce that. This article highlights that if that's what you want, that's probably what you're going to get. And by the way, as of this was during GDC, I think.
Yeah.
They didn't have that for a launch that was planned for the end of this year. That's worrisome,
yep.
especially since a lot of people have already paid them.
Yep. We will continue to watch Atari VCS because I don't trust it as far as I can throw this disc.
Also, the sad at the end was just that I think I... That somehow made it twice as bad. Just adding the sad with the period there, and I have no stake in this particularly, except there was no reason to misrepresent the reporter as somehow giving a fake story. And that's kind of what they did.
Yep.
Not okay.
Jared, I can't wait to see how this Atari VCS stuff pans out, because I think I'm going to be right. I think it's going to be a disaster. But it's so far away. If I wanted to know something that was happening today, like maybe a million goddamn Switch games coming out, where would I go?
I'd go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
See, I told you Kevin could lay down and go to sleep over there. He didn't have to worry about it.
He really did.
No, he's on a phone call trying to fix the computer. Oh, it's cool, Greg. Cool Greg's back there. What up, Cool Greg?
Yo, what up?
Where are we at with the Goosebumps game? How you living in that thing?
I've had a tough week. I put it down for a little while.
Gotcha.
You know, man, when I step into mayor mode, I take it real serious.
I hear you. All right.
Cool Greg, Kevin kind of mailed in a baker's dozen earlier. Can you give us a good one? Because it was lame.
A baker's dozen.
There
much
we go.
Better.
Thank you,
Cool Greg.
Out today, if I don't say a platform after it, it means it's Switch. Destiny's Princess, a war story, a love story.
I think I'd rather play Disney's Princess, a war story, a love story.
Drawful 2, Gunbird 2, Lost in Harmony on Switch and PC. Minecraft Bedrock update, as we said, that brings to the Switch and the crossplay and all that jazz. Mucinex? I thought Mucinex too.
Isn't that like a nasal decongestant?
Yeah, exactly. It's got the gross globs on the commercial. That's on Switch. We're back to Switch mode. Pwned. Again, on Switch, worth calling out. Of course, they're doing a deal with us. If you go over to the Kinda Funny Morning Show, if you want tomorrow, Friday, we're giving away a copy of Pwned and a Nintendo Switch that they're giving us. So you can go over there. If you never got done one of our giveaways before, be in the chat live as Nick and I do the Kinda Funny Morning Show tomorrow on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Or subscribe to us on Twitch. You're automatically entered. Or support us on patreon.com/kindafunny or patreon.com/kindafunnygames at the $2 and up level. You're automatically entered.
Free Switch, huh?
Free Switch, free Pwned.
Wow.
The Journey Down, Chapter 1 on Switch. Oh, damn it, I'm back to this. Well, I'm just not. They got me. Vegas Party, Switch. Westworld on iOS and Android devices. The Echo Combat Open Beta has launched on Rift. Now we're really into the Switch business. 1917, The Alien Invasion DX. ACA, Neo Geo, The Last Blade 2.
Stop it right there, ladies and gentlemen. This one's a standout.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. This is one of the best fighting games ever made. That's all you need to be say. If you like fighting games, this is one of the best.
Huh.
That's all.
Okay. Well, that was easy. Anima, Gates of Memories Arcane Edition. Anima, Gates of Memories The Nameless Chronicles. Caveman Warriors. This is just a demo on the Switch. Johnny Turbo's Arcade Wizard Fire.
Stop it right there. Okay.
I knew you'd have something to say about Johnny Turbo.
Not just Johnny Turbo, but Wizard Fire. If you'd have told me in a million years there was a chance of Wizard Fire being released individually on any platform ever in the history of time, I would have laughed at you. But it's happened, and I really kind of like Wizard Fire. It's just like side scrolling gauntlet / golden axe kind of.
It's just
an arcade game, and I haven't played the Switch version yet. It's a Johnny Turbo emulation. Those tend to be really good. It's if you like old beat 'em up arcade games, this is
your jam.
I'm absolutely going to play this.
Look for your update next week on GamesCast. Yeah. Mahjong Deluxe 3, whip whip. Then. Monster, I'm going to read this. This is from Monster Proms, people. It's a big day for the hit multiplayer dating sim Monster Prom. Not only is the game getting its first big free update today, it's also going on sale for the first time. Aptly titled Fucking Hot, the update includes new stories, maps, and summery outfits for the hot-headed students of Spooky High with just 3 weeks left until prom night. Remember, Kinda Funny Prom Saturday. A week from Saturday. Arena of Valor, Nintendo Switch's closed beta. Sign up, start today. You can go find those on their website. Meanwhile, I got a bevy of new dates for you.
A bevy, you say?
I do. Urban Fantasy Adventure Unavowed will release August 8th on Windows and Mac. Defiance 2050's open beta is coming to PC this weekend. Warhammer Vermintide 2 is coming to Xbox One in July. Sheik Hondo Soul Eater is coming to Nintendo Switch, PS4, and Xbox One this summer sometime.
I read that a Sharknado Soul Eater at first.
That would also be a good game.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball FighterZ for Nintendo Switch is launching in the Americas on September 28th, 2018. Victor Vran Overkill Edition slays its way to Nintendo Switch on August 28th, 2018. Rifter will be released on PC, Mac, Linux, Steam, July 12th. Tropico is coming to iPad in sometime in 2018.
Oh, that's cool. Really? Yeah. I missed this.
Yeah. I got the press release today.
I love Tropico.
A lot of people do. Yeah. I mean, it never clicked for me, but I know people love Tropico.
That's a neat... if the
Explain it. Give me an elevator pitch of what Tropico is.
Yeah, you're a dictator of a banana republic. It's a god game. If this is the original Tropico, it's really well done and a lot of fun. It's like what if you were God, not of like the perfect civilization, but you were just an evil dictator trying to keep a third world nation afloat and maintain in charge so that democracy couldn't actually take hold. It's an interesting game.
Sounds like me running this company. NHL 19 is coming out September 14th, and then Overcooked 2 is August 7th. I wasn't sure if we knew the Overcooked August 7th release date, but I saw it both on the PlayStation blog and then get kicked around somebody else. And you know I love Overcooked and Overcooked 2 from what I've played, so I'm saying again, August 7th.
That's really exciting.
Deals of the day for you! Killing Floor 2's free weekend starts now! PlayStation 4 and Xbox One players today can get a free weekend of Killing Floor 2. It ends Monday, June 25th.
And we already mentioned on a Roper Report, but don't forget that Steam sale starts today.
Exactly. Time for reader mail, but first I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by two lovely sponsors. The first, Brooklinen.com. You spend a third of your life in the sheets. They make a difference with how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with the best sheets ever. Brooklinen.com. Has them. No big markup. They're awesome. I use them. Again, go to Instagram.com/GameOverGreggy. I put up a snap today or whatever they call them. A story of me and Portillo chilling in these sheets. Greg, I love them. Porty loves them. Yes.
What comes between you and your Brooklinen?
Nothing. Except my wiener dog. Upgrade your nightly routine and help feel more well-rested every day. Brooklinen is the fastest-growing bedding brand in the world with over 15,000 five-star reviews. They have versatile colors and patterns you can mix and match to complement any decor. Again, I really do love these sheets. I got them. I impressed Jen with them. I've said that a million times. I'm not going to beat you over the head with it. Brooklinen.com, though, has an exclusive offer for you, the listener. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever.
Greg, do you think we get Brooklinen to send us enough sheets that we could build a blanket fort here in the studio?
We can try.
Okay.
And I'm down too.
I think that would be a lot of fun. A blanket fort, like party.
See, you're giving it away though, right? That's like a higher tier ad package. Down here, we'll read it. The next one, though, we'll make a blanket fort and podcast from it.
I just like the idea, like, you know, we do the sponsored content. We got the party mode going on in the blanket fort.
Totally.
I'd play that.
I'm in. MeUndies is the other sponsor. You've definitely heard me talk about MeUndies, and you know what? You're going to hear it again because I love these GD underwear. I only wear these underwear, y'all know it. I threw away the rest of my underwear. What do? You go online, you pick your style, you pick your kinds because they got cool patterns. They ship them right to you. You don't need to go to Walgreens. Take off your underwear and try on Walgreens' underwear. You can do this at home now. You don't need to worry about the possible charges that they would try to file on you at Walgreens. You can get incredible underwear set to your door with MeUndies, meaning no more hunting around in that Walgreens like I'm talking about. MeUndies is so sure you love the first pair that if you're not happy, they'll do whatever they can to make it right. And if they can't, keep the underwear and they'll refund you. It's risk-free, so try it out now. If you're already part of the MeUndies fam, like so many of us are, Kind of Funny Best Friends represent, tell your friends about it through their referral program. They'll get a discount. You'll get store credit. It's win-win.
What's your color and weave today?
It's a great question. I didn't pay attention.
What do you got?
Wear boxer briefs, and today it's just the orange.
Orange? Yeah, I'm a briefs man myself.
Yeah, I can't do it, no.
You can't do it?
I like protecting the thighs, the inner thighs.
Honestly, I like the support. MeUndies, very, very crotch supportive.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, even my boxer briefs, like, they support. See, I get the best of both worlds.
I always feel like boxer briefs are a bit of a compromise there. Huh. But just like maybe like the Coke Zero of underwear.
Whatever. Go there and pick yours. They got all sorts of kinds. Don't worry. Let's try it then, all right? First-time purchasers get 20% off their first pair of MeUndies with free shipping. That's 20% off and free shipping and a guarantee that you'll love these things. Get your butt over to MeUndies.com and treat yourself to get your 20% off your first pair, free shipping, a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. That's MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. Joker J writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, While this year's E3 wasn't Year of Dreams, it definitely was the year of sequels. Almost every big game featured in the presentations was a sequel or the next iteration in a series. Rage 2, Doom 2, Division 2, Beyond Good and Evil 2, Dying Light 2, Crew 2, Hitman 2, Last of Us 2, and so on and so on. And that's just the sequels. Never mind Gears, Forza, Just Cause, and more.
I assume he means part two sequels.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. He just means that's part two. I was wondering if you could discuss why this is a good or bad thing for the industry. In film, people have been complaining for years that there are no more original ideas being made. But for video games, you can point to indies or just the fact that oftentimes sequels are better than the original because they learn from their mistakes. But that's not always the case either. I just think it's an interesting topic. Keep up the good work and congrats on the anniversary.
Excellent. Well, I got thoughts on that. One of the things is that we are well into a hardware cycle right now.
Yeah.
And it is not at all uncommon as we reach the end of a hardware cycle for sequels to really come rushing in because there have been original IPs introduced that are now being refined. And so getting a lot of number twos now makes sense. Things that were either really big at the end of the PlayStation 3, Xbox One, or pardon me, Xbox 360 generation, or that were early releases in this generation are going to get their sequels right about now. That's the natural development cycle timing. So that's some of it. Another, it is really so much easier to walk into a pitch meeting with investors or internal money men and say, well, here's this original idea that nobody that's untested, untried, or here's something that people already recognize that you've heard of before and that we have a pretty good idea will make it at least this much money because the first one made this much money. And that's so much a why.
That's the biggest thing, right? Is that, yeah, sequels sell better usually, right? That's the plan. And it's been proven, right, that a new IP versus an old new IP that now has a two of the title, the two with the title usually sells better. Mm-hmm. Is it good or bad for the industry? Depends. You know what I mean? I don't think the thing about video games right now in 2018 where we're at is I don't think we're hurting for new IP and obviously intellectual properties. So new chances, new games. I do think the indies do a great job of filling that, but I also think you see chances like Vampire or whatever the hell you fucking call it. You see Horizon, right? You see I think I could throw God of War in there, but I won't. That's, you know, it's like a rebooting of a thing.
Days gone, though.
Days gone. Yeah. Like, we are seeing new things happen. But we're also seeing things like Sunset Overdrive and Quantum Break that happen and don't find an audience. And then, all right, cool. What do we do? What does it mean? Blah, blah, blah. And like, there's this little bit of a panic in the sky of like, what's going on.
Yeah, I think about one of the most exciting games from E3 was Control. And largely because it is something new. So I think it's a bad thing for gaming? I think that it's a bad thing for... I think it's a less good thing than it could be. I'll put it this way.
Okay.
For the art form.
Sure.
Because I do think that more money behind innovation ultimately leads to, again, better sequels, pushing the state of the art. If Rockstar had never taken a risk on Red Dead Redemption, and it was a risk, then we would not all be clamoring 8 years later for a Red Dead 2 game that's going to be gangbusters. That's going to sell very well. We all know that now. But that wasn't guaranteed when they launched that game because they were trying something new. They took a long-term investment strategy. So I want to see more of that. The indie space helps, but I do want to play more Sunset Overdrives. I do want to play more games that are just something completely distinctive. You get some of that with licensed games. Spider-Man's not a sequel to anything else, but it is tied to something we all understand.
Yeah.
So the fact that we're getting a new Spider-Man game, that helps with some of that gap, but I want to play things that are utterly original and there's less of it than I'd like.
Yeah, I hear you. I feel for me personally, and this is, I guess, the kind of games I like, where I feel like, indies scratch the itch there.
Mm-hmm.
You do see PlayStation and now Microsoft as they get their first party up and really running of like them taking chances and doing things. But I do like the idea of, all right, cool. How do we get around this? We need... Games take forever to make. Games cost so much to make at a AAA level.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure we're getting a return on investment here. We need to make sure we're publishing successes. Historically, that has meant sequels. Oh, this worked? Keep fucking doing it. But I do like a little bit of the cheat code of, okay, cool. We're Marvel Games, and we have a bunch of IP. And we've seen in the decades before we took over Marvel Games, hey... Iron Man's movie's coming out. Let's take a shit out an Iron Man game. That'll be fucking fine, right? I much prefer it to be cool. Insomniac had something cool with Sunset Overdrive, and it didn't find the audience, but we think there's something there. We know they can tell stories, and they got something. Why not give them this IP? That then makes it's not a new property, but it is a new game for them, and it is this thing we're all excited about, right? Yeah. And you hear that, then, all right, cool. Crystal Dynamics, you've made these Tomb Raider games. And not to say Tomb Raider isn't a franchise, but it hasn't found an audience on the level many people think it should. And maybe I'm just projecting my own thing that I think Tomb Raider should be more successful this time around.
Interesting.
Here is Avengers. Go make something cool with Avengers, arguably the biggest, you know, comic book movie franchise going. Well, not even arguably. That's true. Go make that. You know what I mean? Like doing these little bit of cheat codes of like, let's take a talented developer and get them this game and go.
I like that too.
Yeah. Actually, I hope it goes the other way too of like, all right, cool. Let's get weird with the indies. Hey, IndieX, you've made something really cool in VR. Do you want to make a Cyclops game where you're a Cyclops? You know what I mean? Like, let's get fucking weird where it's just I don't know. Let's see what happens.
Yep.
Games are awesome. Everything's awesome. Cool Greg's awesome. Hey. Kibo says, hey, Greg and Jared. I was just curious your thoughts of West of Loathing for the Nintendo Switch. Thanks and keep up the great work. You guys are awesome.
It's hard to make a funny video game. West of Loathing manages it.
It's great.
I am loving West of Loathing.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful classic style RPG with great humor, fun art, all kinds of cute little hidden things. Greg?
Yeah, same thing. I'm sadly with, you know, Mario Tennis coming in, Fortnite popping off, a couple other things on Switch I don't think I can talk about yet happening on my Switch. It was one of those, I was so excited when I got my code, got it, played for a couple hours that first night, and then just like haven't gotten back to it. And then it's the thing I'm like, I should probably restart it. I should probably come back in because I don't even remember where I was. But I've loved that game since I saw it at PAX a couple years ago at Indie Mega Booth.
Yeah, it deserves to succeed. That's a good place to spend your money on Switch right now. Even if you don't particularly like turn-based RPGs, this one's very streamlined and very funny.
OKG Jesus writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, do you think with the next generation of consoles coming in 3 to 5 years, we will see an overall increase in the price of games? We going to move north of 60?
We should, but we probably won't.
Yeah.
I think that game prices in the States probably do need to rise a little bit to match the cost of creating them, but I don't think it's likely. Instead, we'll get long tail strategies. We'll get more and more games with DLC options built in to keep us around and find new ways to sell us things.
Yeah.
We'll have more cosmetic choices at all, etc. And I think that'll probably narrow the scope of games we get outside of first-party studios. There's actually an excellent piece right now by Alana Pierce on IGN about this.
Yeah.
Or at least tangentially about this. I think that the price of single-player games should go up in a universe where I get what I want.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's likely to happen.
Yeah, I think you're going to say it. I think they're going to keep it at 60 this time around for the next generation. But yeah, it'll be more, I mean, as you're already seeing now, more in the next question referring to that of like, how do you continue to monetize an audience? And not in a scuzzy way, but in a way we got to keep our servers on. We got to keep these
sometimes
people
in a scuzzy way.
Sure, but I think that, again, EA and all these other people who have fucked it up this generation, I think you've seen people succeed at it and learn from it. And not, I mean, like, it not, let's run to the next question because it comes down to this.
All right.
Osama writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, KFGD crew, I'm writing in concerning the news about the Event Pass and Rocket Pass from yesterday. Of course, Event Pass was for PUBG. Rocket Pass was for Rocket League. And they were basically both like the Fortnite Battle Pass. When Greg first read the articles, I was expecting him to be upset about the copycat passes in Rocket League and PUBG. But rather, Greg and Andrea were happy that these progression systems were being pushed onto the players of these two online games. I was frankly shocked at your responses because I could not find a single person in either of these games' subreddits that was at all in favor of these changes. Everyone in those threads shared a very coherent sentiment. They all hated the additions. Why? Because both Rocket League and PUBG cost money. Fortnite can get away with its progression system being locked away in a $10 pass because it's a free-to-play game. I think it's absolutely ludicrous that you guys completely accepted these garbage, anti-consumer microtransactions placed in these games. What annoys me more is that if these devs do not get any backlash for these additions, other devs will soon replace their entire progression and level systems behind a $10 or $15 paywall on top of the entry price of the game. Am I crazy to think that these passes are clearly just ways to get the consumer to spend more money and are not at all even being disguised to be for their benefit. Anyway, keep up the great work, guys. Osama.
He raises a point there. Greg, I think mainly you'll probably be the one to comment on this, and I may bounce off it because I actually loathe progression and leveling systems in multiplayer games.
Really?
Yes.
Period?
I hate them.
Why?
I don't, because I just want to play a game.
Okay.
I want to play skill versus skill. I don't like the idea that I start playing a game. I've never liked this.
Yeah.
The idea that I start playing a game with someone that's already played longer than I am and therefore is already better at the game than me and also has a material advantage over me in terms of their gameplay abilities and the options available to them.
Yeah.
I'm fine with unlocking things in single player as I go. I love progression systems in most games. I like the feeling of progression. I hate it online. I'm much more going to be kind of in that more Counter-Strike-y vein of, no, we're just here to play and whichever is better wins and we're on even ground. Therefore, I am totally the wrong person to answer this
sure.
because everyone else in the universe feels differently. And sure. I understand that. And I totally respect it. But I think probably you should be the one to really.
So for Osama's question, I think the first thing for as a ground level you need to get in on, right, is that I'm currently swept away up in Rocket, or God damn it, Fortnite, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using the Battle Pass and enjoying it, right? And to Osama's part here of, okay, cool, that's a different game. Fortnite's free. Rocket League and PUBG cost money. They shouldn't hide this away. Here's where we get hazy. Actually, I can't actually. Is the fact that, from what I remember from the, like, even to what you're saying to an extent, right, is that this is all cosmetic stuff. This isn't changing it how it plays for
now,
somebody.
Now, cosmetics I have a completely different feel on, but unfortunately, I am not familiar with the passage you're talking about here as I didn't follow yesterday's news.
You son of a gun. Is it so hard to find an hour of your time, Jared?
Yeah. I listen to the show
I know,
a lot.
I know, it's, I know you're very busy. I was joking around. That
I
was
love
not,
it so
that's
much.
Not, I love you very much, Dora.
I know.
it's logged in as Kevin, of course. Hold on. Shared with me. Come
that's
over
it.
Here.
There cool, Greg. Can I have a LaCroix?
What day is it?
Thank you, man.
The shared date. One,
I really appreciate it.
Last manifest.
Yeah, while he's doing that, we'll do the... Do so this. Cool Greg's leaving the room. He's headed to the LaCroix. Greg's reading
hey,
right now.
Hey, Cool Greg! Will you bring me my laptop, too? This is going to be a bitch
look
to
at that.
Find
we got
iPad.
All kinds of stuff going on here.
We're just doing a run. So I'll clarify, and you're wrong myself or whatever, right? You know, for me, it speaks back to... Okay, is a $10 pass, a $15 pass on this wall for to get in and do this. For me, it's the carrot at the end of the stick to keep playing. Let's talk about PUBG, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Kevin and I play PUBG and we're running through and getting stuff, fine, cool. Earning these coins to go in and maybe come out with enough that I could then go buy on a random drop pack of whatever the fuck I'm going to get out of this crate. Mm-hmm. That wasn't fun for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't care about earning that loot and doing that system.
Maybe okay. less positive than
when I talk to, when I look at Fortnite's Battle Pass, right? Mm-hmm. And I sit there and I see, oh man, in four levels, I'm going to unlock this skin and I'm going to mm-hmm. get an XP boost or whatever that'll yeah. actually help me unlock things faster. That's cool. Ooh, I wonder if I can get this tonight and if I can go there, blah, 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 blah. It even works on the way they want it to work of microtransactions
yeah.
of me sitting there and going, man, maybe I should buy that thing that kicks me up 25 levels because I'll get that costume I want right away.
Yeah, it's where there's a discernible gameplay difference
thank
that
you.
I begin to be frustrated.
That's not what they're talking about here.
Okay.
Both of them are talking about the past being, hey, here's cosmetic items that you're getting. And for sure in Rocket League, they were like, this doesn't replace the real leveling system of mm-hmm. Rocket League. That's yeah. still going to be there the way you want it to be. Sorry, I should have been more prepared. I read the question and then I thought there was more... specific information for it, and I didn't okay. realize how combative it would be. Not that I'm against that, Osama. I want to make sure I'm representing it correctly. Yep. So I'm going to read these both to you then, all right? So this is from yesterday. Rocket League's Battle Pass detail. This is via Vic Hood at IGN. Similar to Fortnite's Battle Pass, Rocket League's Rocket Pass will allow players to earn new content through a time-limited progression system. As you earn more Rocket Pass XP, you'll unlock more content. However, this does not replace the current XP based progression system. There will be two versions of the Rocket Pass made available, the free one and the premium one. The free Rocket Pass will allow everyone to unlock rewards including new customization options, player banners, in-game titles, and decryptors. On the other hand, the premium Rocket Pass upgrade is available for 10 keys, $10, and Psyonix aims to offer several each year. Unlike Fortnite, there are no challenges to complete to earn XP. As Psyonix has confirmed, this would disrupt the competitive balance of Rocket League. Instead, there will be a weekly win bonus, which allows you to level up faster if you win enough games in a week. However, the developer is considering safe ways to give players more specific goals in the future.
Yeah, if leveling up is locking maps, if leveling up is locking abilities or slots, that's one thing. If leveling up is blocking cosmetics, who cares?
PUBG's event pass detail. This is via Nick Santana. Yeah, Sant'Angelo at IGN. A new map isn't the only thing coming to PUBG on PC this week. On Friday, PUBG's PC version will also get its first event pass, a limited time system that will unlock in-game item rewards when players level up by completing specific missions. It seems very similar to Fortnite's Battle Pass. Mm-hmm. The quote, the event pass is designed to reflect the opinions of players who wanted a trackable progression related system and at the same time allows you to unlock new content in PUBG in a way that is different from the crate and key system.
Mm-hmm. So again, if it's cosmetic, they can charge whatever they want for it. I don't care. If it affects gameplay, I'm
and that's
outraged.
My thing is like what you were talking about. You want to buy the game and play the game.
Yeah.
Both with what we just read there, Osama, you can still jump buy Rocket League and buy PUBG and go and play this game. Mm-hmm. You can be like Kevin's been in Fortnite and just be running in the default skin. Mm-hmm. Like who the fuck cares if that's not what you want to do and you don't want to do it. For me personally, I like that look ahead of what's happening. I think a lot of people do in Fortnite and other games like it. Mm-hmm. I don't like the blind get of PUBG of not knowing what I'm going to get out of that crate.
Yeah.
Not to say that this is going to alleviate that. I'm going to see what I'm getting and maybe I don't want it in PUBG, but it's still there.
Yeah.
Also, this is the argument of what you, Osama, you say here, right? And what we talked about a second ago. Am I crazy that these passes are clearly just ways to get the consumer to spend more money and are not at all even being disguised to be for their benefit? No, you're not crazy, Osama. That's business. Like, I understand this argument that you bought Rocket League, you own Rocket League, Rocket League is yours now, you already gave them your money. You did. Psyonix wants to continue. They don't want to make a sequel from when they talk about that game. They just want to add to it, which means they need to hire more people, there needs to be more R&D. There needs to be more testers. There needs to be more marketing. They need to keep the servers on and hopefully grow the community to add more server. Like it's not like we're buying Super Mario on NES anymore and just walking away and the game is done. Mm-hmm. Like there's still so much stuff happening there. And granted, yes, Rocket League made a gajillion dollars and PUBG's made a gajillion dollars too. I'm not just trying to harp on Rocket League. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's what we're talking about is how much a game is going to cost going forward next generation. There needs to be the reality of how your sausage is getting made here. And mm-hmm. the fact that, yeah, though they're not hiding this because they're offering you a product they want you to buy. It's not at all being disguised to be for their benefit, the consumer's benefit. Like, no.
Maybe he just doesn't see the value proposition. That might be more.
So ignore it and don't use it, right? Like, I haven't looked in the subreddit, and that's the other thing that's interesting about this. I did see an IGN article today that there's a whole bunch of backlash about the PUBG thing, of people being mad about it, right? Mm-hmm. This is very much that line I talk about all the time with season passes, where a game will get a season pass, and everybody's fucking mad about it, but a lot of people mad about it, we're never going to play that game. So what do they care about the season pass, right? For me, this is the thing of like, cool, like I like Rocket League and I like PUBG. I'm not a hardcore player. Maybe one day, similar to what's happened here with Fortnite, I'm going to get bit and be all over and be into it. I'm not in this community. So if the subreddits and the people are mad, and maybe I'm sure we're going to get to You're Wrong and see maybe I've missed something. Fine. I get it. And your opinion matters, but I don't like the idea that Osama seems to be offended that this is a way for them to make money. Like, no, they want to make money. This is a business. They want to continue to grow and give it back. And that's the weird thing for Psyonix's audience to be mad because they've been so good to him.
Maybe the argument is
Psyonix being good to the community.
Maybe the argument is, and this could be this is purely speculative.
Sure.
That these folks, when they spent their $60 or whatever they spent on Rocket League, thought they were then going to have access to everything afterward that came out for the game. That was the message that they understood and that they feel misled. That's one possibility. And if somebody feels misled in that regard and the marketing didn't match up to that, well, yes, that would indeed be angering.
So I would hear that and understand that, except for the fact Rocket League's put out so much stuff since then, mm-hmm. right? That they have, I mean, that we just did the Jurassic World cards and the Batman Superman stuff and the Nintendo, like,
when are we getting that Greg Miller bobblehead on top?
We have the Team Fat Flag in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We weren't smart when we were like, oh, they're going to let us put a flag in there. Should we put our logo or company name? No. Put a reference to a shirt we're not even going to sell forever. Yeah, great idea, guys.
Good idea. That was well planned, yeah. Greg. Well planned. Well done.
So, hold on. We're going to get to the real You're Wrong in a second, but I want to come in here and see because just a few people
pop it in right there.
It's not bad. No, and obviously this is the kind of stuff I want. Let's go. Mark Freeman wrote into kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, and everybody stop. These will be the last, unless you really feel like they're missing the point. I don't want everybody.
Mark Freeman.
Mark says, as someone who got Rocket League for free on PlayStation Plus, admittedly bought some DLC. But since keys and trading has come out, have not bought a key, period. That's not a sentence, man. As it stands, I have a... What are you trying to say, Mark? What are you fucking trying to say? He's happy. He's saying to do it. He doesn't care. That we gotta work. I understand you're typing into
that's
form.
Like when you're, that's like when you go to E3 and you're sitting down with like a translator for somebody who speaks a different language, and you ask a long question.
It's hard on the fly, right?
And, reply, and then the person speaks their reply for 3 minutes, and the translator looks at you and says, "Yes."
Okay,
yeah, I love when that happens.
Lord of Pwn writes in and says, regarding Rocket Pass specifically, I've seen plenty of support from people on Reset Era and even people in the pro scene that like the Rocket Pass and think it's a great addition. Rocket League items are all cosmetic and up to this point has already been entirely RNG based on progression. Currently, you have a chance to get an item or crate after every completed match. XP in Rocket League is also getting reworked. Currently, leveling is capped at 70 and takes exponentially more XP to reach each time. I've been playing a couple hours a week all year and have leveled to 56. The new XP system coming soon would put it more in line with other live games like Overwatch and Fortnite. I could go on and on about this at length, so if you want more, just hit me up. No, that's good. I just want to make sure we're all fine.
Until they add progression to desert golfing, I'm not interested.
And then Kebabs writes in with the final thing for this thing and says, Greg, if you want to replace the team fat flag, Psyonix is absolutely up for changing it. They've done similar things like this before, like changing the design of packs. No, I know. Every time me and Dunham are together, we joke around about it, but then it's like, we have real things to do.
I don't have anything to do. Do you think they can get my face in there?
No, fix me first. Well, let's fix our thing first.
I'm selfish. You're fine.
You know what?
I'll
make
money.
It so you're never in Rocket League. All right?
You probably could. That's true. I do. Definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody has a lovely time together. Today, Darren needs help on PlayStation 4. His PSN name is TJ Rocker 55, all one word. What's up, kind of funny crew and viewers? I am looking for people to join me on Black Ops 3, specifically zombies, to help me get some of the achievements. God damn it, Darren, we call them fucking trophies and you know this. Any help would be, you know what? No one do it. No one help Darren. He had his chance. He doesn't respect the PlayStation ecosystem.
He's fucked into
the ground. No one do it. Don't be mean to him because you'll get blocked or reported.
Punish him, champ.
I will punish him, Kev. No one be nice to Darren. No one respond to Darren.
I do not condone this cyberbullying.
I didn't say don't be mean Darren, to him. I'm Darren, just saying ignore his request now.
I don't think that's a fair way to talk to our champ.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
The belt means nothing to me.
You're a monster. Man. You're a monster.
It's just like a trophy. It's worthless.
All right, part-timer. Get out of here. All right.
You put in a required reading.
I did, yeah.
That ties into tomorrow's host.
It does.
You put the required reading from usgamer.net. The article, What the Next Console Generation Could Mean for Switch, by the one and only Cat Bailey.
Exactly. Cat Bailey of Axe of the Blood God fame, of Act of Time Babel fame, America's foremost expert on Super Robot Tyson, and just a heck of a wonderful person, is going to be on here tomorrow. But she wrote a really great article where she sat down with somebody who actually works on Switch games to say, hey, what does Xbox Next, what does PS5 mean for Switch?
Mm-hmm.
What's possible? What games are going to be ported? How's that porting going to work? And they kind of dig down into those technical issues in a really smart but easily ingested way. And they also talk about the possibility of Switch hardware iteration. And it's a great read, great thing to read before Kat's on here tomorrow as your guest. I was so thrilled to find out she was going to be here, and I'm so sad I'm not going to be in tomorrow because she's just one of my favorite people in this industry.
Kat Bailey is a great person from usgamer.net. She's the co-host for the first time tomorrow on Kinda Funny Games Daily. So everyone, you have homework. Go home and read What the Next Console Generation Could Mean for Switch, according to one of its key developers over on usgamer.net. So you will be caught up on everything happening tomorrow.
Unlike us, Kat Bailey does her homework.
You know, I built the show, right?
You built the show, yeah. I should have read, but didn't that one go in really, really late, like right before we...
Who knows what's going on. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, we ask everybody watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to keep us honest in a segment we call You're Wrong. This is where you write in and correct anything we said stupid during the live show. So everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe gets the straight truth.
What were we wrong about Greg Miller?
No.
Do we have a lot of pedantic, like...
Abrack writes in and says, Jared jokingly said they didn't have the PlayStation Blue to the Minecraft ad because they didn't want it looking like the flag of France.
Yes, I know the French flag is red, white, and blue.
No green involved.
I know.
Kebabs says, a fact to nibble on, Banjo, Master Chief, and Gear skins are available on the PS3, PS4, and Vita versions of Minecraft. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Excellent. I wasn't sure of that. Lucar Wolf says, the Super Mario Mashup Pack is only on the Wii U and Switch versions of Minecraft. Great. Nope. Somebody says, not a you're wrong, then don't fucking write in here. It's very simple. Kevin, ban him.
He's banned.
Thank you very much. Kebab says, GTA's funny name for its in-game cash is GTA money sign. They call it GTA dollars.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. That's not, yeah.
Yep. I like to think of them as GTA ducats. No, GTA doubloons, perhaps.
Yeah.
I think it'd be all right.
Everybody still wants me to call Dragon Ball Fighters, but they have a capital Z at the end. So it's Dragon Ball Fighter Z. They can get into a real thing and do it the right way if they want
to. What about Fighter Z?
It's good enough, too. I can do that. Yeah.
Yeah, Fighter Z.
Keep going.
That's like Sid Meier's Pirates!
Pirates! That's that exclamation, yeah, the exclamation point
at the end.
Yeah,
now you got that. What's that?
Nothing, just laughing at the whole exclamation mark.
Yeah. You just said this as Sid Meier's Pirates. It's great. I like when they put question marks or exclamation points on titles. There's an old Odyssey game. It's just called Bees, because it has this exclamation point at the end for some reason.
I'll take it.
I once took a class that title was not only all caps, it also had an exclamation
mark. What
was
the class?
Disease.
Jesus.
Wow. Yeah. Was this in college?
Yeah.
And they just called it disease with an exclamation point?
Yeah.
Wow. That's, I really want to take that class.
It's a fun class.
Sounds amazing.
Learned a lot about diseases.
If you didn't, I took a class in college called World Food and You.
That's a fun one.
And I was like, I can't wait to test all this food and eat all this food. And I fucking got there and it was about like fucking how food, like the economy of food, works across the fucking world.
I think we had
easy A, but I was like, I am not eating a crepe. I thought I'd be eating a fucking croque monsieur right now.
I think we had very different college experiences. I had like advanced Greek and Old Testament origins and beginning biblical interpretation.
You were going in a different way, I think, with your degree than I was.
Yeah,
I was just looking for the fucking gen ed requirement, and I thought I'm gonna get to eat a cake, and now here I am learning about how they fucking make, I don't even remember. I remember nothing of it.
I think my favorite course title was History of Philosophy and Christian Thought. I always thought that was a fun one. That sounded like a, and it was a good class. I liked that one a lot. But
ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD. Questions, comments, and more, write them in right now. Start right now, and then I'll look at him tomorrow morning and put together the show with me and Kat. We'll be back then. Remember, watch live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen anytime on podcast services around the globe. And of course, if you thought we did a good job today, go support us on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
It's a marathon of content today.
Woo!